Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Yeah. I'm going to tell the truth tonight. Oh, we're going to talk about marriage, and I'm telling all the truth tonight. First thing is, we're going to talk about newlyweds. This couple says, we got married a few months ago. How can we keep a strong marriage on the right path? Understand, if you have a new marriage, you don't have a strong marriage. That's not how that works. You can get to a strong marriage, but that's going to take time. You don't start there. In fact, if you see an old married couple that have a strong marriage, you ask them, do y'all have a strong marriage? They'll just look at you and say, well, I ain't killed him yet, so... new marriages aren't strong. Can't be strong. Y'all don't even know what you're doing yet. My goodness. We got a strong marriage. You don't have a strong marriage. Let me tell you what marriage is like. Now, when you go to the you want to buy a car, right? You go to the dealership and you say you test drive all the different cars and you see what you like. And this is a brand new Mercedes. You sign and you say, okay, I want this exact experience. I want this brand new. And you sign that. Now, imagine what would happen if they brought out just the chassis on a flatbed truck and a big pile of parts, just parts everywhere, parts. And they say, well, there's your Mercedes. You'd say, well, I don't want any of this. I want the thing I just drove around in and on the showroom with the new car smell and whatever. But see, that's what marriage is. You want the nice car with the thing you ride around in it and everything's great and you turn on the radio and whatever and the turbocharged whatever, but you start with a big old pile of parts on the ground. See what I'm saying? You got to put this marriage together if you want to drive around in it. This is how marriage works. Y'all are blinking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'll educate you tonight. We're gonna hear the truth. It's gonna come out. We're making progress right here, right now. Marriage is put together. If you want it to go right, you got to put it together. And that means if you have problems early on, that's because you're still putting it together. See, a lot of newlyweds come along. I hear this all the time when I'm doing, like, you know, marriage counseling with new people. And they'll sit down and say, we thought we were the perfect match with one another. Say, well, what is your woman? He's a man. Well, how's that a perfect match? The two of y'all don't have anything in common. Y'all don't like any of the same stuff. Don't have the attitude about anything. This is a disaster. We got to make something out of it. But this idea of we're the perfect match and she's the one and all this talk, that's not how that goes. All marriage starts at disaster, okay? And God knows this, so he gives us the sexy part. See what I'm saying? You get married, newlywed, you have physical desires, and that blinds you to the fact that this is a hot mess. That's all in the Bible. You just keep reading, okay? But then hopefully by the time that you run out of all of the sexy, by the time that gets boring to you, you got to figure this marriage out or we're going to have a disaster. This is the truth is coming out. I'm telling you the truth right now. See, we got to be humble about this stuff. We have to know what's up. And we're going to start with this word, sacrifice. We have to be ready to sacrifice for the other person. Now, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to start with this story. Jed and Hallie, you see them in the back right there. Jed and Hallie have a bird. Okay? Now, here's the truth about the bird. Jed don't want that bird. Jed does not like that bird. And I'm going to tell you another thing. The bird don't like him back either. He goes to feed that bird. That bird will literally bite the hand that is feeding him. I mean, you put, I don't care if it's a bird, a dog, a cat. I don't care if it's a person. You live in my house and you bite me, it's over. Over. I don't care for what, it's over. You see what I'm saying? Now, Hallie, bless her, you can see her, she says, I feel like we should have a bird. Now, Jed doesn't want a bird. Jed, in his whole single life, never said, you know what would be great? Is if I had something that made a loud squawking noise, demanded a lot of my time, and pooped inside my house. You know, that's what I really want to see happen. He doesn't want that. But see, he looks at his wife and he recognizes a few key things that I think some of y'all who are in marriage need to recognize. One is that he has no right to be with a woman this attractive. He should be embarrassed, is what he should be, okay? On top of that, she supports him in everything he does. I mean, she is his biggest fan, his biggest cheerleader in everything she does. She helps him around the house, and she'll do things for him and take care of him. He looks at all of that, and he says, I could lose all of that just because I'm gonna start a fight over this bird. Do you see what I'm saying? He makes a choice to sacrifice. Yeah, and he lied. He said, sure, yeah, a bird, right. You bet. No, I don't mind. That's fine. I'll feed it, sure. He's lying. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling the truth up here. This is you getting the truth from me, okay? But he made this sacrifice, you see, because of the respect that he has for Hallie. See, he respects the kind of wife that she is. This is a verse that we've been looking at. I want to pick up where these other people are leaving off. Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. See, Jed loves himself. He thinks he's great. He's been taking care of number one for a long time. But now he has to learn to love his wife in that way. And the wife must what? Respect her husband. See, here's where we have a lot of problems now. There's a lot of men go to church and read this verse, go home and say, the Bible says you got to respect me. Now, he's going to call for this respect without earning any respect. Now, you tell me how that's going to work. That's not going to work, is it? See, we have this way, bless us, as maybe this is more of a thing for men than it is for women, but we have a way of asking for respect when we aren't living in a respectable way and we aren't earning that respect at the house. If you earn respect, if you earn it, and you don't get it, that's a serious problem. We have to really reexamine what kind of a marriage we're looking at and what kind of a relationship that we have. But I think we have a way of saying, I just want to have respect first, and then we'll see what I do with that. And that is that's backwards. That's not how God wants us to work things. I hear a lot of this when you hear two men talking, because the men will coach each other on how to handle women. And neither of them knows anything about women, but they're going to help each other out. You understand what I'm saying? And there's always this, you got to keep your woman in check. That's what you got to do. Now, the same brother, let that woman threaten to leave him, he will cry. Oh, it got quiet in here. He will cry and beg her not to leave, to go back out on the corner and tell all of his friends, I got that woman in check. I tell you, that's what you have to do, is you got to put your woman in check. That's it. I'm telling the truth in here tonight, okay? The truth is coming out. See, why don't we try putting ourselves in check, okay? Let me put me in check first here. Because I got a lot. I mean, my wife thought she was marrying a really godly, holy man because I lied and told her that's who I was in order to get into it. You understand what I'm saying? But then I realized she will sooner or later figure this out and leave me if I don't put myself in check and behave like a grown person. See, so I couldn't walk around and try and always put it on her, you know. So that's how a lot of these marriage problems go. Hey, you know, you're not doing right. Well, you're not doing right either. So all bets are off. You know, if you're not doing your part, I don't have to do my part. And everybody blames each other, points fingers at each other. Let's point those fingers at ourselves and say, you know, I can do better. I can be, I can give you respect in order to receive respect. That's easy stuff. We can do that. And you got to do the easy stuff, y'all. You got to do the simple stuff, the free stuff, the stuff that requires almost no sacrifice. If it's taking out the trash, if it's helping out around the house, whatever that is, if it's cutting the grass, you have to do the little things, because God help us, we're never going to get to the place of making the big sacrifices that actually make marriage go if we don't do as many of those little things as we possibly can. Amen. See, here's the thing, is God is calling us to a life of what we call servant leadership, okay? See, the kind of leadership that it talks about in the Bible is where the person in charge is the one that is helping everyone else reach their potential. The person in charge is the one who is doing as much as possible to help everybody else in the situation. I hope that the people that work for me would say, after, you know, however long working for me, that Glenn helped lift me up and helped me find my abilities and find my gifts and my talents and all of that. That's what leadership is really all about, is getting those people in that position. We have to learn to be a servant in that way. We have the devil wants to tempt us to call shots instead of that. See, everybody wants to be that shot caller. You know, everybody wants to be the coach of the team. But the thing is, you and your wife have to form that team first before it makes sense that anyone would coach it at all. You know, there are few marriages that I've seen where the wife and the husband really work together as a team. And that's what I want to inspire you. If I could leave you with anything as I'm walking away, this idea of teamwork, where you trust one another, hello, trust one another, and you lean on each other and you let each other's talents show, and that you work together to get this thing done right. And when Jane and I go to the movies, I drop her at the curb. She gets out the car and she goes and buys a ticket. I park the car. I go into the thing. She's already bought the tickets, left the ticket stub with the guy that tears the tickets. Said, my husband's coming behind me. He's bald and is shaped like a fire plug, but I married him anyway. His name is Glenn. He's going to ask for this ticket. Then she goes in and she hits the candy counter. I take the ticket. I go in, get the seat. You follow me? This is the most efficient operation you've ever heard of in your life. Teamwork. We look at young couples, they're still on the corner trying to figure out where we go in or whatever and all that. We work together to form a team. Here's a verse I'm going to leave with you. I want you all to meditate on this. Be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. You're going to have those hard days. Your partner's going to have those hard days. You're going to have those times when you feel like turning on one another. But as this verse says, find a way to be loving and compassionate with each other no matter what, and find a way to pull on the same end of the rope. God bless you. We love you. That's my word.